Basic name of this message would be called Empty. But we will have the full side of it too. Now, empty, I'm going to read a little bit here. Start off. The definition, containing nothing or nothing but air, as an empty chest, space, purse, is seriously evil. Empty. Evacuated, not filled, as empty shackles. Unfurnished, as an empty room. Void, devoid. Void, destitute of solid matter, as empty air. Destitute of force or effect, as empty words. Unsubstantial, unsatisfactory, not able to fill the mind or the desires. The pleasures of life are empty and unsatisfying. That's one of the things that song brought out. Not supplied, not having nothing to carry. Hungry, wanting substance, wanting solidity, as empty dreams. Destitute, waste, desolate, without a cargo in balance, as a ship returned empty. To exhaust, to make void, destitute or deprived of the contents, as to empty a vessel, to empty a well or cistern. Rivers empty themselves into the ocean. To waste, to make desolate, to become empty. You're doing me like my nephew did. Empty can be good, bad, or horrible. An empty plate of good food is good. Well, I want to start here. Full versus empty. A full tank of gas or an empty tank. A full pen cartridge or an empty cartridge. Full water can or empty. A full checking account or empty. Full cell battery or empty cell battery. Full gallon of milk or empty. A garden with full fruit on the plants or empty plants. Closet full of clothes or an empty closet. In time to eat, you want full pots or empty pots. A full refrigerator or empty refrigerator, or an empty freezer. For work, do you want a full work week or an empty week? If you're having a sales seminar, do you want a full room or an empty room? Do you want a full house of your family or an empty house? If you need to get a lot of work done or called several to help, let's say church work day, do you want a full crowd or an empty crowd? Now, how well can you dress with an empty closet? How far can you go on an empty gas tank? How much can you eat with an empty kitchen cabinet? What can you buy with an empty checking account? How much can you drink with an empty well, an empty fruit tree, or a full tree? How can we go to heaven with an empty soul? No, we must have Christ. So are we empty, half empty, or full? An animal's plate empty is good. A child's plate empty is good. Empty glass of water drink is good. You've had a get together and it's nice to have a empty place as everyone is tired. Unloading a truck, van, car, ship, it's nice to have them empty. If you had a business to fill up cars, cans, etc., you'd need a lot of empty jars or cans. Now, what is bad is a child's plate half empty, and they don't want more, and you feel they need it, or they thrown it on the floor. Or you have a half empty plate because there's not enough, and you're hungry. An animal's bowl half full, and they're not eating. Half empty glass, and there's no more drink. You're getting tired, and people still at get-together half empty. You're worn out, and the van, the truck, the car, the ship, and it's only half empty. If you had a business to fill cans or jars and no empty containers to fill. Now, what is horrible is the spiritual half empties.
That's right.
All right, now, as old Brother Herschel used to say, the spiritual half empties and the total empties. They're out there, and more than ever. A person that starts to not read and pray enough, that starts going toward empty. Then they start missing meeting some. The Lord is trying to give them light, and they want to reject that, small things. And then they start rejecting more and more light.
Lord.
Less reading and prayer and less meeting. Now, we've had messages in this meeting that is nailed right down to the bottom line. And then the Lord comes along and gives me this after what Sister, and I didn't hear the message this morning. Well, I have heard it. I've heard it two other times. And then what Sister Clay preached last night. The bottom line is, if we're going to heaven, we're going to have to work to get there. You're going to have to fight the devil. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to read. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to fast. You're going to have to do everything that's needed through the Word and the Spirit to be able to get there. And you and I do not, well, we cannot. We cannot do it empty. We're going to have a full amount to do it. All right, let's go to Nahum 2, please, 8 through 10. Nahum 2, 8 through 10. But Nineveh is of old like a pool of water. Yet they shall flee away. Stand, stand, shall they cry, but none shall look back. Take ye the spoil of silver, take the spoil of gold, for there is none end of the store and the glory of all the pleasant furniture. She is empty and void and waste. This is a pitiful situation. And her heart melteth, and her knees smite together, and much pain is in all loins, and the faces of them all gather blackness. She's empty. The Bible said she is empty. Nineveh is empty. She's in a bad state. Listen, folks, you can't get any worse than that. There's a lot of people running around. Some of them's got professions and they're empty. Some of them's coming to church and they're empty. Some of them's going to work and they're empty. They don't have what they ought to have. Tonight, a revival meeting or a camp meeting is set up for the bottom line to glory to God and to get good to our souls. But are we getting the good that we're supposed to get? Are we getting into it like we ought to get to it? The Lord wants you and I to get into it and see where we might lack some, need more, whatever it might be. The Lord's wanting us to get busy in these meetings and say, well, there's where I can move up. That's what I need to do. If you're going to sup with the Lord, you're going to have to spend time doing it. You can't make a dinner and eat it in 5 minutes, more than likely. It's going to take something. If you're going to put something good together, it's going to take a while to make it and to eat it.
Yes.
Brother Gary Eck, he has told me back several years ago after my first wife died, he said, it takes me an hour to make a salad. I thought, an hour to make a salad? Come on. I made salads too. I ate a lot of salads when I was single. I eat much better now. But the bottom line is, it didn't take me very long to take a salad. Well, when I went up there and started going up there on a Saturday evening before 4 Sunday all day, I would go out and spend the night with him occasionally, and he would make me a salad. And I saw right quick why it took an hour to make a salad. He gets it down real fine. He works with it. He chops it. It gets it. It's the best salad I've ever seen to eat out of a bowl. I didn't eat mine out of a bowl. I eat it out of something else. But the bottom line is tonight, if you're going to do what you need to do, have the life you need to live, listen, you're going to have to spend some time doing something called prayer, study, and living for God, getting close to God, supping with God, doing exactly what He would have you to do tonight. You don't. There's many a people that has seen a girl, a boy see a girl, or a girl see a guy, and they like him. Maybe fall head over heels for him. But that other person don't want to have nothing to do with them. They give them this.
Or maybe they'll talk to them some, but they never allow the relationship to build into something going all the way to the altar to get married. That is a hard place to be in. The rejection, the point pushing back. And maybe they try. But listen, when you and God are further apart than close together, it ain't going to work very good, folks. We got to get close to Him. We've got to do the praying we need to pray, the giving we need to give, the doing we need to do. If we're going to have a life for Christ, we're going to have to put ourselves into it. If you're going to go to heaven, it's not an easy job. You're going to have to work at it. I've done it over 50 years now. And I didn't get it by just playing around all the time. Oh, tonight, Lord, help you and I to not be an empty vessel, but to be a full vessel. Are you full? Are you empty? Are you in between? The other night, we was coming out of Myrtle. We were driving back to West Plains. And I was low on gas, and I knew it was. But I knew that there was, hopefully, a Walmart Murphy open. And so I was shooting for that. But I was keeping an eye on that place that pops that little light on that lets you know you're getting close. I pulled, I saw it. It was lit up. I thought, maybe the pumps are on. So I pulled down in there. And just as I pulled it in the parking lot, or as I'm backing up, that little light popped on. I made it. But I didn't have an overly bunch of gas to make it on. Listen, folks, tonight, don't get so low that your little light is blinking, saying you need to pray, you need to study, you need to spend some time with me. I'm going to tell you tonight, let the Lord lead and guide, but you get the action going, praise God, and praying to Him and saying, Lord, I want more of you. I want to pray more. I want to study more. I want to spend more time with you. If you're going to have a relationship with a husband or wife, you got to spend some time together. If you're going to get to know one another, you're going to have to get to know one another by spending time together. Now, there's long-distance relationship, but there's also cell phone, texting, and other. I spent a lot of time on the phone with both of mine before we got married. And texting, talking, visiting, so forth. But the bottom line, you've got to get acquainted. You've got to do it by spending time doing that. It's no different with Jesus Christ. If you're going to get acquainted with Christ, if you're going to know Him, if you're going to know His scriptures, if you're going to know the life that He wants you to live, you're going to have to spend time with Him, talking, learning. You read this Bible and let the Lord give you scripture. Let Him give you things out of that Bible that will bless you, encourage you, and inspire you.
Yes.
The Psalms, the same way. Reading of books. From the print shop and some others maybe. That's good history books, so to speak. The Lord will help you to get a hold of things that will be a blessing to you.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Matthew 28. Let's get into some of the word here. Matthew 28 and 1. And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. For he has risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. This is the greatest empty that you could ever have. This is the tomb that was full of the body of Jesus Christ, But the power of God resurrected that body, brought him up and out. Listen, he emptied that tomb. Listen, there's an emptying of you and I every time the Lord takes us when we're in quagmires of sin and the depths of it, and he raises us up and he gets us out of that and he empties that, so to speak, praise God. Oh, tonight the tomb's empty. Jesus is alive. The disciples were worried. The ladies were worried. People were worried. The soldiers were there. But listen, God did not let back on his word. He said, I'm going to do this, and he done it. Jesus said, I'm going to be resurrected. He done it. Everything was done by the power and the working of the Spirit of God. The first time it's been done, praise God, for the life of spiritual Christianity and salvation for you and I. Got him out of there. Now, I could be wrong, but I figure those ladies were just excited as they could be. Just really blessed. And the angel answered, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he had risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. There had been a lot of people that had been raised out of the dead sin, muck and mire. And they've been raised up and they've been set on a solid rock, Christ Jesus. And they have had blessing after blessing. They've lived the life. I've heard a lot of testimonies in my day of what God done for different ones. And I'm going to tell you, it's the greatest blessing that a person can have. All right, let's go to Luke 20:9. Luke 20:9. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen, and went in a far country for a long time. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also and treated him shamefully, and they sent him away empty. And again, he sent a third. They wounded him also, and they cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I know what I'll do. I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, what is this sin that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner.
Yes.
But whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder.
Yes.
And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him. And they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. Now, God sent prophets to Israel and preached to them for years. He dealt with them and worked with them and tried to keep them straight and on the right way, but they didn't do it. They would send this one away and they'd send that away. They'd reject this one, they'd reject that one. So he decided it's time to bring about the real plan. We prophesied of this for years, and the time is here, and we're going to bring it about. So he sent Christ. What'd they do with him? They killed him. They killed him. Oh, tonight, the worst thing they ever did, in a sense, was they killed the Son of God. And yet, that was part of the plan. But said they, the husband beat him. Sent him away empty. Again, they sent him away empty. Again, and sent the third.
They wounded him also, cast him out. They sent him away empty. They wouldn't listen. Listen, folks, today, there is people that is not listening to what the preachers are saying. Point blank, they're not giving full heed to what we tell them. We're trying to help you to get to heaven. We're spending hours doing it, miles traveled, thousands of dollars spent over a year's time in getting from place to place and meeting to meeting and preaching the gospel of God. And the bottom line still, there's people that are kind of sending us away empty. They don't want to have anything to do with it. They're turning it down. But I'm going to tell you what tonight, there's a hellfire and there's a devil that's going to lead people and cast them or lead them, and the Lord's going to say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So we need to listen. And they wouldn't listen. God trying to help old Israel. He had such a beautiful setup for them, but they didn't want it. They didn't want this and they didn't want that. They kept going back to idols. Listen, there's a lot of people got a lot of idols in the United States today. A lot of them. And those idols are causing people a lot of problems. So tonight, Jesus, he come down. And they didn't send him away empty. They just flat killed him. That the inheritance may be mine. They cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto you? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. When they heard it, they said, God forbid. Listen, when they done what they done, the destruction of Jerusalem was a horrible thing. God destroyed and worked and done everything he wanted to do because of the way they done him. Tonight, you can reject us all you want to, but there will be a reckoning day. There will be a day that you will deal for what you've done of rejecting. You say, well, I'm just rejecting Brother Grace here, or Brother Carl, or Brother Marvin, or Sister Fields, or Sister Clay. I'm just rejecting them. No, you're rejecting God. You're rejecting Christ. Christ uses us. He doesn't have to use us, but he does use us. And the bottom line is, if you're rejecting us, you're rejecting him. And he's the one that's going to make the solid last call. Yeah. And that's what makes it so serious. All right, let's go to Hosea 10, 1 and 2. Hosea 10, 1 and 2. Tonight, are you listening? Are you praying? Are you studying? Are you full? Are you empty? You would not want to start on a trip with an empty tank of gas. If you would, I want to see your hand. I mean, I've left on a lot of trips, folks. Lots of them. Whether I was single or whether I was married. Whether I had children or whether I didn't. I've left on numbers and numbers and numbers. I've traveled thousands upon thousands of miles. I have preached between 200 and 250 times, two different times in my ministry in a year. So I've been doing a little bit. But the bottom line, you would not start out with an empty tank of gas. And when it starts getting empty, what are you going to do? You're going to get more gas. Right. If you don't, you're going to end up side the road. And so consequently tonight, you've got to, the reason we hold meetings on Sundays and Wednesdays, other churches may have some other things and studies and so forth I've never gotten involved with, but the bottom line is the way we do it is to help keep you filled up, to encourage you, to challenge you, to stir you. There's times that many, many times you've come to service and got exactly what you needed and stirred you up to go back and get deeper in with the Lord.
Yes.
There have been many times, there have been testimonies given that has challenged, encouraged, and uplift people. There had been testimonies that was given in Guthrie when I pastored there from 87, the fall of 87, into the middle of 91. And the bottom line was, I still think about those testimonies today. Because it was God. It wasn't sister this one or brother that one. The bottom line, it was God. They had prayed and looked to God, and God worked. And they told us about it. The wash machine that wouldn't wash, or the dryer that wouldn't dry, whatever it was.
And they laid hands on it. They prayed for it. We was getting into camp meeting or assembly meeting time, and they had to have it. And the Lord started it, and it ran all the way to the end of the meeting, and it quit. Somebody said, "Why didn't you work forever?" Well, I don't know. I didn't do that. What about the watch? Sister Brenda Wilkins had to make some deliveries from Brother Delmer, and she had a watch that was giving her trouble. So she prayed. She said, "Lord, I need to be on time with every one of these. 10, 11, 12, so forth, whatever it was." And she got it. She wound it up and she prayed over it, and it started working, and it worked all day past the last delivery, and it quit just like that. Had to be fixed then. These are testimonies that you and I can draw from and pull from and say, "Thank you, Jesus. God's working for them, and he can do the same thing for me." Praise God. He can do that. So consequently, that's why we have meeting. It inspires you, it challenges you, it encourages you, it blesses you, it lifts you, it teaches you. There's so much that we get. And that's the reason we say we want to see you in meeting Sunday morning, Sunday night. You know what happens a lot of times? Sunday morning's a nice crowd. Sunday night's not so big. Now, I pastored 3 congregations. I know what I'm talking about. I had them at one place that come about straight up noon. There's about 3 or 4 people would walk out that door no matter where I was at in my message. They'd just walk out. They'd be back the next Sunday. They'd do it again. If I went past 12 o'clock, they were walking out. Lord, help us. What happened if the Lord's still working past 12 o'clock? Who's at fault, me or them?
Yep, Lord.
Now, Lord, help me. I'm not meaning to scold anybody. I'm just telling you what I've seen happen down through the years I pastored and evangelized and so forth. The bottom line is, it is our job to help you. That's our calling. I didn't want to preach, never did want to preach. You know, one reason is because of one preacher I saw growing up that married my parents. He didn't own a home. The only thing he owned was a car. Him and his wife lived with, I believe, his sister and her husband. And I thought, well, I don't want to live with no house. I don't want to do this and that. Well, the Lord done me better than that. Why he done that, I don't know. He did now many years. I can't ask him. But the bottom line is, I wasn't interested in the ministry. When God got through me, I was willing to do anything he wanted me to. So tonight, empty. Are you empty?
Yes.
Are you half empty? Are you all the way full? All right, Hosea 10, 1 and 2. Hosea 10, 1 and 2. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty? He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, "We have no king, because we feared not the Lord." Listen to this. "Because we feared not the Lord, what then should the king do unto us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field." Now it said Israel is an empty vine. No fruit, an empty vine. Now I got news for you. If I'm going to have a vineyard, I want full fruit. I'm not interested in everything being empty. Molly had some fig trees. Now she had other stuff down there at the house too in South Carolina. And she had good amounts of figs or good amounts of whatever it was. I was going to Florida the first time, the fall of 1980 with Brother Egbert. And Brother Egbert told me, he said, "We're going to get to Ocala," I believe it was. And he said, "Right in here is where the great orchards start." And he said, "You're going to top a hill and you're going to see lots of fruit on them trees." Guess what? There was lots of it. It was beautiful. Listen, the Lord wants the orchard of God, so to speak, to be full of good fruit. He wants something that people can pick and eat, so to speak. He wants something that will be there for them to say, I like that. I want that. One man was on a train. He was trying to sell apples, and he couldn't sell them. So he told one man, he said, I'm going to give you this apple, and I want you to eat it like it's the best apple you've ever ate. He started in. And each bite, people are turning and looking. He made a trip back through the car. I want one of them. I want one of them. How much are them? Give me one of them. The biting of that good apple. Listen, the people want to try us out, so to speak. I'm not going to say bite us, but they want to try us out. They want to know who we are, what we are, what we say we've got. They want to look us over. And if we're empty, we can't show them anything. We won't have any fruit to give them. We won't have any blessings to spread. But if we're full and got what the Lord would have us to have, then they can come along and they can pick a nice tangerine, a nice orange, a nice apple. I have eaten some delicious fruit in my day. And I like fruit. Had a customer one time in the gender business give me a grapefruit off of one of their cousin's trees that was back in the West, I think in Arizona. Anyway, I took it home and I cut that little jewel open and I started eating. That's about the best grapefruit I've ever eaten in my life. Mm. She gave it to me. What did I do? I thanked her for it. Listen, people want to have something that they can say thank you for your life. Are we living the life that is challenging souls? Are we living the life that is encouraging souls? What are we living tonight? All right, let's go to Exodus 23 and 10. Exodus 23 and 10. And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land and gather in the fruits thereof. But in the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat. And that they leave the beast of the field shall eat. In like manner, thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. 6 days thou shalt do thy work. On the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect. Make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month of Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of the harvest, and the first fruit of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of the ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field, 3 times in the year all the males shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain in the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. Now then, he's telling how to do it, basically what I've been preaching. Telling how to do it, telling what to do. And he said here, he said that none, N-O-N-E, shall appear before me empty. None. In other words, to me, he wants a full, perfect, everybody right where they need to be. If we're going to go to heaven, that's what we got to be. There is people out there that want to play religion. I'm not in this to play religion. I'm in this to live for God.
Amen.
And he's had mercy on this old boy and helped me down through the years. He's blessed me. He's healed me. He's inspired me. He's challenged me. He's anointed me. He's given liberty and freedom. He had done things of wonders to me down through my life, and I appreciate that. But that none would be before him empty. None. Tonight, why are we preaching this message? So none shall appear before him empty. We don't want anybody empty tonight. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy here, 16:14 of Deuteronomy, about two or three scriptures right here, not very many. Yeah, 16:14. Let's go 13. Thou shalt observe the feast of the tabernacle 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter, thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless, and the widow that are within the gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose. Because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and all thy words of thine hands, therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Here it is again, that he letting us know he doesn't want us to appear before him empty. Whether it be during the day, whether it be during the night, whether it be during service, he wants us to have the relationship. He wants us to be filled of the Spirit of God. He wants us to be where he wants us to be so that we can be a blessing, and a blessing to God, so to speak, and a blessing to others.
That's right.
Don't appear before him empty. Let's go to Luke. Luke 1 and 50. Then we'll be in Luke 18. We'll be through here in a little bit. Luke 1 and 50 through 55. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arms. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He had put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He had filled the hungry with good things, and in the rich he has sent away empty. He had whole pen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Now it said here, he had filled the hungry with good things. How much good things do you want? Now, I can't afford a cattleman steak every day of the week. I might want to, but I can't do it. I don't have the money. We get down there 2 or 3 times a year, maybe 4 times. It's the best steakhouse that I've ever eaten at, and I've eaten quite a few. But the bottom line is, he wants to feed the people. He wants to not only give them something to eat, he wants to give them the best. He wants to give you some God steak, so to speak. He wants to feed you something that will challenge you day and night. He filled the hungry with good things.
Yes.
Now it said he filled the hungry with good things. How hungry are we? If you come to the table and you're half full, you're not going to want to eat very much. If you come to the table empty, you're going to want to chow down and you're going to eat. It doesn't matter basically what the wife has prepared or what's on the menu. The bottom line is you're going to be ready to get what is there to fill the need up that you have. The Lord wants to give the hungry good things, not just anything, but wonderful, luscious things. Praise God.
Yes.
But, well, I said, and the rich
He has sent empty away. Sent empty away. The rich. That mean money?
Well, it could. But I tell you what I think it means. It means those people that are rich in themselves. They think that they're worth something. They think they got it all, the donkey by the tail, so to speak. They're thinking those things. Listen, folks, tonight, those people that are so full of themselves, the Lord is not interested in giving them anything. He sends them away empty. They've already got everything they think they need. He can't satisfy them. He can't bless them because they're satisfied within themselves. Listen, folks, tonight, we need to empty out and say, Lord, I want you to fill me up. Amen. I come to the table. I've got a wife that can cook. I was told in South Carolina before I married her, said, Brother Carl, Sister Molly can cook. I found that to be very true. So I don't go around empty. I don't go around hungry. Because I got somebody that can prepare some good food. But I've also got another person, so to speak, that lives in the house with me, and that person even does better than she does. And I've been married to him longer than her. I've been married to Jesus more than 50 years. I've been married, bless him, what, 40 years with two wives. So the bottom line is, he's the one that I've gotten down. And I said, Lord, I need your help. I need something. Listen, folks, he doesn't give the rich people anything. He gives the hungry plenty. So I want to beg you, you need to get out on your knees and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm thinking a little too high myself. I've been reading this book and not the Bible. Lord, I want you to give me something good. I want a steak. I want something I can chew on. I want something that will fire me and encourage me. I want something when I get to church on Wednesday night, I can fire the whole congregation up. And it don't take somebody saved 45 or 50 years to do that. A babe can do it. Because of the Spirit of the Lord. So are you rich in yourself tonight? Are you hungry? He have filled the hungry with good things. Oh, tonight. One time, Brother Leslie got in the pulpit to preach. I don't know how old I was pretty young at that time. But the Lord gave me a scripture. And I turned to the scripture. He opened up, turned to his scripture, and announced it to the very same scripture I had. Before the second scripture he called for, the Lord gave it to me first. And the third, and the fourth. He gave me every scripture in that Bible and that message. He gave it to me. Then Brother Leslie called that scripture. Listen, folks, God does things just to bless his children. But are you getting the blessings? Are you getting fed? Are you full? Are you half full? Are you empty? Listen, the Lord wants full children. You know, if somebody's full, if a wife... is preparing good food, they're not going to be, and the husband's eating and the children's eating, they're not going to want to go eat anywhere else. They got everything they need right there. So consequently, he wants to take care of you, I. That way we don't wonder. Woo, that looks good. Oh, I like that over there. I tell you, I'm not interested in the world. I'm not interested in the things that's out there. I'm interested in one thing, and that's Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's the one that has blessed me and helped me down through the years. It hadn't been the world. The world was a mess. And I wasn't a bad sinner. I wasn't a bad sinner. I was young when I got saved, so to speak. All right, let's go to 18 of Luke and the 14th verse. No, 10th verse, 18 and 10. 18 and 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now listen to the way this reads. He prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I just fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I possess. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself should be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Oh, tonight. All right, let's go to Matthew 12. Let's finish up right here. Matthew 12 and 42. This is very serious scripture right here that I'm finishing up with. 12 and 42 of Matthew. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and they dwell there. So the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also with this wicked generation. Now somebody said, well, I got saved and I don't have to do anything. The devil ain't going to bother me anymore. I got Jesus. Don't kid yourself. The devil's going to show back up. He's going to check you out. He's going to look you over. He's going to see if he can figure out, so to speak, where you are. And as he looks and as he checks, and right here, it didn't take him very long. He said there, I'm going to return into my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it what? Come on now, what does the word say? Empty? Swept and garnished. In other words, it wasn't empty of the devil. It was empty of Christ. And it was swept and garnished. In other words, what this is saying, when the devil come back, Jesus wasn't there. The house was empty. It was not what it should be. It should be full. But it didn't have anything of Christ or anything in it. And the devil come back, checked it all out, went and got seven other spirits more weighing himself, and he moved right back in. Why could he move in? Because Christ wasn't there. Now, is this serious? Does it make sense whether you're empty or you're full or even half between? What is it? Is it a serious enough message tonight to make you think that I need to consider where I'm at, how much I pray, how much I go to meeting, what I do for the Lord? Listen tonight. The devil is going to check you out. And if you're not where you want, you need to be, ought to be, the bottom line is he can get you. Oh, he won't bother me, Brother Carl. Yeah, he will too. He can get you. And when he does, it is not a pretty sight. I've seen people have professions. I've seen people that claim to be saved and so forth. I've watched them down through the years. And then I've seen them get loose. I've seen them turn around and walk off. I've seen them be filled back up with the devil. And they were not a happy person. Tonight, where are you at? Where are you at spiritually? It is time to look deep down. All right? Let's check ourselves out. Lord, help me to see what I need. Do I need something? Lord, help him. Lord, help me. That's what these meetings are for. Like I said, they're brought about so you and I can check ourselves through the Word and by the Spirit and see where we're at. And if we see we need something, we come down and take care of it. I've been coming here for, over 50 years now, 72, 73, somewhere along in there. It's been a long time. I've seen altar work at these altars. But I'm not seeing that much anymore. So, is there a problem that we're not seeing any altar work? Is everybody exactly where they need to be? I'm not casting stones. I'm just asking questions. Lord, help us. If we see we're not where we ought to be, we need to do something about it. I appreciate your time, your attention, and your prayers tonight. Pray for me.